Good morning to you all. This is Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. God bless you this morning, and I pray that your day today would be filled with His presence in your lives and that you are resting in Him. I would like to speak this morning on the three Hebrew children that were cast into the fiery furnace here. And I would like to say, along with the message yesterday morning, that when we go with those precious seeds of the gospel, and then some of the weeping that comes with that is opposition from the enemy, and which is what we call persecution. And I have observed already that there's very little persecution where there is no outreach. There is very little persecution, and that pretty much holds true across the board. Now, there is an exception to that, and that is if someone leads a life and refuses to bow to the norm of the day, or refuses to bow to rules and customs that are contrary to the Word of God, which is the case here with the three Hebrew children. They refuse to bow and surrender to the custom or the commandment that was given because it was contrary to the Word of God. And that will bring persecution. However, what I was saying there earlier is that pretty much across the world, wherever you go, I've been talking to a brother yesterday, and he was saying how that in most of your Muslim countries, it's not uncommon, and in most places, there are accepted cases where there are Christians. If the people groups were Christian by culture or as a people group, the thing though that is not allowed is for a Muslim born person to become a Christian. So in many of these Muslim countries, there are what you might call the Armenian people who are considered from the Muslim perspective as Christian, even though a lot of them are Christian as in how we would see like your Catholic Christian. They're more Christian by culture and tradition rather than a heart. In other words, they were born Christian and they're just kind of growing up Christian without really having a lot of spiritual life from a heart that, or from a, from an individual accepting of Jesus Christ. It's rather just a group thing. So, and I found that very interesting because I saw here that Satan doesn't as much care when there's Christians around. Okay, that's not Satan's main concern. But when those Christians start converting people who are in a false religion, who Satan has blinded their eyes, and who Satan is holding captive in his grip, that is then when, so to speak, Satan rises up in fury, which the result of that is persecution. So it was very interesting for me to observe that there, in most cases, there are Christians around, but as long as those Christians stay silent about their faith, then Satan is okay with that. It's when the Christians open their mouth and speak the things concerning Christ, and as we talked about yesterday, when they start making disciples, that is when there's an onslaught of the enemy, and I think that's what a lot of the weeping comes from in sowing. The person who sows, the person who makes disciples, will have a lot of hardship in his life coming from the enemy, but the enemy works through people, so the opposition will be coming through people, and also just the enemy personally attacking this person wherever he can, whether it is through condemnation or making the person whispering lies into his life. So, but here's the opposite. I would like to say that the enemy only has grounds into our life where we allow him. So I would like to look at this picture here with the three Hebrew children and just point out how glorious it is if we can go through this persecution with this type of perspective. So here you have three Hebrew children, and they had made their stand not to bow to this 90-foot image. And so they were singled out, and then they were the commandment was given by the king to throw them into the fiery furnace, and not only throw them in, but rather make the furnace 7 times hotter than what would have originally been required. So they did that, and then the furnace was so hot that when the people that they bound them hand and foot with ropes and walked up to the furnace, possibly 2 or 3 per person, and cast them in there. Well, what happened is the people that cast them in were overcome by the intensity of the heat, and they died and laid there in front of the furnace, dead. Where these three Hebrew children were cast into the furnace, and I have a picture of many people watching, a large crowd of spectators watching the scene. And as soon as they hit the furnace, their ropes are immediately burned off, and they are free to walk around. They're no longer bound. And so now they're walking in there, and I'm assuming that these three Hebrew children were very much conscious in there. And they were aware that they're in a fire. And they were also aware that they were no longer bound. Their ropes had been burned off. And if you can picture this scene here, they must have looked down and possibly through their toes, they, you know, obviously they were standing on in the fire. They probably saw the flames licking around their legs, and possibly even, I don't know how high the flames were, but it would seem to me like the flames, you know, were up to their waist at least. And here they were walking around in these flames, and this smoke was going up, and surrounding them. And my thoughts are that they were probably having conversations in there. And, you know, the first one may have looked, and he would have looked down at his feet and looked at his hands and realized that he's in the middle of a fire, but he's perfectly safe. And then this feeling of astonishment would have came over him. Like, wow, I'm in the middle of a fire and I'm not burning. You know, then maybe he looked over and he realized that the other two people weren't burning either. And so they probably had conversations. You know, they probably were asking each other, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I don't feel, you're not burning. Nope, I don't feel anything. And just the joy that would have erupted from their hearts, realizing they're in the middle of a fire and they're not burning. You know, and I can imagine them kicking around at the coals under their feet and digging their toes into the coals and realizing that this fire has absolutely no power over them. And then I'm assuming they probably looked up and looked out of the furnace and realized there was a lot of people watching them. And all eyes were on them. And they realized they're in the center of attention. And all of a sudden they realize this whole picture comes together that, yeah, they're in here because they didn't bow down to the image, and now they're in here in the middle of what's supposed to be a fire created by their enemies, and the fire is not hurting them. And not only that, but there they see the dead people laying in front of the furnace who were killed by the heat of the fire by throwing them in. So this whole scene would have come to them, the dead people, the thousands of eyes watching them. And here they were walking around. And then possibly sooner or later they would have noticed the Son of God in among their midst and realized that this is the power of God that's keeping them. And this is a wonderful thing. And they're in the midst of persecution and yet feeling no pain. And that's the beautiful thing that the Bible says that Satan has power over our bodies to kill us, but he cannot touch our soul if we are completely yielded in Christ. And that is a beautiful thing I'd like to say here in this case with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they're in this case they were protected physically, but it's a wonderful thing if the if we are facing persecution and we are rejoicing in the midst of it from the bottom of our heart, not forcing ourselves to rejoice, but rejoicing because there is no pain. You know, rejoicing that the persecution has actually helped us. It has actually been used to burn off our fetters and the things that have bound us and has given us a new level of faith and joy. And I just so appreciated that picture there of knowing that Satan cannot touch our soul at a time of persecution, but rather that we can rejoice in the middle of the fire with many eyes upon us, like it says there in Hebrews, that we become a gazing stock at that moment. We become a gazing stock when we are willing to be fooled for Jesus and then endure the ridicule that comes from being fooled for Jesus. And then the ridicule doesn't hurt us and the eyes are on us and they realize that even the fact about being an outcast cannot hurt us. And the people that are doing the mocking are the ones that are smitten, their conscience are smitten. And so my prayer is that this can encourage you as it encouraged me as I was reflecting on the victory that has been won in Jesus. We know that Jesus crushed the head of the serpent, and it's just a matter for us to walk it out. God be with you.